Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
All right, welcome back to the Rundown post-game show here on the Strickland YouTube channel. If you're listening to this the day after Strickland Podcast Network, I'm Sam. I'm joined by Schwinn. Knicks lose 112-106 in overtime in Game 5, forcing a Game 6 in Philadelphia on the road on Thursday. But before we get into all that, BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and the NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. This was a brutal, brutal finish to this game. And I think I'm kind of putting it lightly there at this point. Have a chance to seal this win and seal the series. And
I mean, they had the series won. The series was over. They had it won and they fucked up. OG missed a free throw at the end. Hart missed a free throw at the end. Mitch commits. I mean, look, I saw the clip of, like, I don't know who it was, B-ball breakdown or something. I think he tweeted out that, like, Maxi traveled on the play. I'm sorry, like,
I'm not going to give him trouble on that.
And I'm not even upset about that. Like, either you, like, there's nothing, you don't need to do anything there other than defend the fucking three. That's it. That's the only thing you have to do there. You don't have to, you can give up a fucking layup. You can foul him. You can do whatever you want other than give up a three. And both times, Mitch is playing way too fucking deep, way too deep out of a timeout. I mean, if anything, that's a situation. You don't need a fucking big man on the floor there.
I was just about to bring it up. I was just about to bring that up. The adjustment that I would have liked to see Thibs have done.
And even if you,
The adjustment that Thibs should have done is,
want to have a big man on the floor. Sorry, we're like talking over each other.
Now go ahead, Schwinn.
No, I just, like, if you're not, like, you can just, even if you want a big man on the floor, just put Precious in then. Just put Precious on the floor. I mean, I don't, look, everybody fucked up tonight, all right? Like, that down the stretch, throughout the game, whatever. I thought Tibbs took way too long to change that starting lineup in the second half. I don't know what the fuck that was about. They were terrible in both halves. They've been terrible. That starting lineup has been terrible pretty much throughout the series. Like, they've been awful throughout the series. So to continue with it is one thing. To play it, what was it, the first 10 minutes of the second of the third quarter? I mean, that was crazy. Like, that was just a waste of time. You could see it within the first two possessions of the fucking game, of the half, that they didn't have it. They didn't have anything. I don't understand that. I think it's very weird that he didn't use Precious at all. Like, I'm not going to kill him too much for that because Embiid sucked ass. But I do think that you look at how much chaos Maxi was creating, just constantly moving. We can sit here and, you know, Deuce should do a better job on him. Hart should do a better job on him. Dante, whatever. I get all that. You also can make life easier for those guys. Embiid wasn't doing anything tonight. So you saw at the end of last game how effective Precious and OG playing the 4 or 5 was, because you were able to just switch all that 1-5 pick and roll stuff and just shut it down, make it an ISO thing. And to not utilize that at all while Maxi is absolutely going off, I mean, that's tough, man. I don't know. I think that's a mistake. I don't think it's that. That's not even, like, the one that frustrates me, though. But, like, okay, you don't foul Maxi. Mitch plays way too deep. Now, look, maybe in the timeout, Tibbs told him to. Mitch is a liability in those situations consistently. He is consistently a liability in those situations, and he had played what, like, fucking 14 straight minutes, fucking gas too. You could see it in overtime when he had nothing left. And again, like I cannot understand the strategy there from a coaching perspective, because it just doesn't, it doesn't really make any sense to have him on the floor there. And then, you know, Hart gets fouled. He goes to the line, makes one of two. You have a chance to either foul there, or you have a chance to sub Mitch out at the fucking free throw line, which he should have done. And what happened? What happened there? Mitch is playing, you know, he's playing. I mean, I know he came out higher, but you've got to understand the time and situation there. Maxi is going to look to pull up from three. Embiid set the screen where? Like fucking at half court or something?
Basically.
Yeah, like Mitch has to be either, he either has to meet him higher or he just shouldn't be on the floor. Because the one thing you cannot do there is give up a three to the hottest guy on the fucking floor. It was ridiculous to watch that. And then in overtime, I mean, and look, I want to be very clear. I'm not trying to pin this just on Tibbs. Again, it is everybody. You know, Hart had that ridiculous turnover towards the end of the game where he tried to throw a full court pass to OG for no reason. That didn't actually burn the Knicks, but it was a stupid fucking play. And one that he's always susceptible to because he's always trying to hit that home run and in transition. That break they had in overtime, I wanted to fucking blow my fucking head off with a shotgun watching that shit. Where Brunson, I don't know what he was doing. He drives in, then dumps it up to Hart, and Hart, like, just the one time Joel Embiid is set and in position, Josh Hart decides to just jump at him and try to finish at the rim. He ends up missing, and then they end up getting, you know, a fucking a layup on the other end to go up 103-102. And the other part of that, too, is on that play, he had OG wide open in the fucking corner. Like, I'm sorry, like, I love Brunson. Obviously, I don't think he had a bad game or anything like that today, but I did think he had some loud mistakes. And, you know, when you're the top guy on the team, you've got to take the blame there. And I'm sorry, like, you cannot put Josh Hart in that position. I'm not going to even blame Josh Hart for that, because if you give Josh Hart the ball there, guess what he's going to do? That's what he's going to do. That's on Jalen Brunson. And that entire offense, I don't know what the fuck the offense was in that entire overtime. I think that there were two shots taken by non-Brunson players. One was the Hart one that we just went over in transition. And then the last one was that Deuce one at the very end, which didn't fucking matter. I'll say this too. Strategically, I do not understand. You call a timeout down four with just about, 15.8 seconds left. Why are you trying for a two there? You don't have a timeout. Like, there, so you, at that point, you're going to need a three at some point anyway. This is like when you go for, like, this is like teams not going for two until the very end of a game in the NFL. Like, hey, we're down 15, but let's just take the extra point here. Like, you want to get the information you need as fast as possible, right? Like, you need the three there basically in any scenario. That's if the only scenario where you don't need a three is if they miss both free throws, which is obviously, like, just not something to bet on. You know, at minimum, you're expecting them to split there, right? So, like, you know, that's brutal. And then the other part of this that makes this loss brutal, Maxi missed three free throws in the fourth quarter. Embiid was playing like a fucking sleeper cell for us throughout this game. He was awful. And I don't think the Embiid thing is necessarily going to get much better. He played, 50 minutes tonight? I don't know what the hell he's going to really look like. And I just think he's going to struggle probably. But you had no excuse to lose this game. You got everything you needed. And you were in a dominant position. You were in control of the game. And you let it go because of stupid self-inflicted errors. And, you know, do I think Mitch even fouled Max on that play? Not really. But why are you jumping? If you're already fucked there, right? You're already fucked there because you're way too deep. Just let him take the three then. At least then you're up. You're still up three with the ball, right? So even if Hart splits that like he did, you're now up four. It's a totally different game. I can't understand that. I also didn't. Look, I'm not going to kill Tibbs again for, like, not calling a timeout at the end of regulation, but just all things considered, I think I would have called a timeout there. That one is a little bit more just, you know, that's subjective. I don't really have a strong opinion on that. I felt like that was a situation to call a timeout. But, yeah, I mean, look, there's no two ways about it. The Knicks completely pissed this game away. Now they've got to go on the road to Philly. They got to go back. They got to try to win the game there. They don't, and they have a game 7 at home, which I guess is nice. I mean, that's why you know, try to get home court and all this stuff, but, like, they didn't need to do it. They've put themselves in a precarious position now, and if they lose this series, they don't have anybody. I don't want to hear anything about the fucking refs, by the way. I don't want to hear jack shit about the refs in this game. The refs did not cause them to make stupid fucking plays down the stretch. The refs did not cause them to commit dumb fucking fouls. Like I and look, they got a flagrant and Embiid right down the stretch. And also look, like I love Brunson again, but missed the free throw there, right? Like he just it just felt like every time the Knicks had a chance to really just close the door, they just wouldn't quite do it. And they fucked up. I mean, look, they pissed that game away. They pissed the game away, and that's on them. There's really nothing else to say other than that. It's a brutal loss. It could be an all-time brutal loss for the Knicks. And not just that, the thing that really sucks is even if they win, right, they win on Thursday, I think they would still play on Saturday against the Pacers. Maybe, I'm not sure. Possibly. Whatever. But you look at the Knicks box score tonight, okay? Here's the box score. OG Anunoby, 50 minutes. Jalen Brunson, 51 minutes. Josh Hart, 53 minutes. Like, those three guys ran themselves from the ground tonight. And that's just, I mean, it's hard to keep doing that. Like, I mean, and look, it's not like Nick Nurse wasn't doing terrorist stuff too, right? Tobias Harris, 49 minutes. Embiid, 48. Maxey, 52. So, like, you know, this is the nature of the playoffs, but that's why it's a huge deal to not put this game away, because you want to avoid accumulation. You want to avoid having to play as many minutes as you do in these situations. If you remember, Ime Udoka talked about that as a reason he thought they lost the finals in 2022, the Celtics, because they had gone 7 with the Sixers. They had gone 6 with the Hawks in the first round, right? I think that was... That was that year. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And they went 7 with Miami in the Eastern Conference Finals, and he just felt like that took a lot out of them. And, you know, look, maybe like if the Knicks still win the series, I'm going to be happy, obviously. But you're just these things hurt you. They hurt you whether you win the series or not in the long run. And it just sucks because the Knicks, they played a great fourth quarter. Like, they played a great fourth quarter. They put themselves in a position to close the deal. That possession to put them up 6 was fucking beautiful. You know, they get the free throw line and, like, just open jumper for Deuce to – and it felt like, wow, what a great play. It was a great read from Brunson. He manipulated the defense to create that look.
That's what makes the overtime, like, so much more bizarre in terms of his playmaking and his decision-making, because it's like, what the hell is going on now? Like, he just had the ball the entire time. And he just kept going and going and going.
And I understood, like, the first two possessions were good to me because, you know, he gets a 3 because Embiid is playing drop. So he's just able to walk into a 3. And then the second one, he just blows by him because Embiid came up higher. Then he blew by him for the layup. So, and then I think, if I remember, did the Sixers call a timeout there? Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I don't know. But they definitely adjusted their coverage after that. And so to keep running that was so weird. And yeah, to your point, like, it was just against what had been working for so much of that game.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, to your point about the what I was going to say earlier about the Knicks in terms of adjustments with Dibs. I mean, you see the way that they kept running this play over and over with Embiid and Maxey. And the Knicks just kept getting, like, confused or at least lost, or like Mitch just wasn't the personnel for that, like, for that situation. I'm really baffled because Thibs has done such a great job in this series of making in-game adjustments, especially in game 4. We saw the great in-game adjustments of putting OG
on. He went fucking 5 out in the fourth quarter today.
Yeah, so it was, like, so bizarre that he didn't go with, like, he'd even try Precious at least, because, like, we know when Precious and OG on the court and they do the Embiid Maxey thing, like, that's a switch and that works perfectly fine. So it was really bizarre that he didn't try it today, especially after seeing the success in the last game. And it sucks because, like, you're talking about accumulation. We just found out the news today that Bojan is done for the season with foot and wrist surgeries. So you're basically essentially playing a seven-man rotation for the rest of the playoffs. So, like, it really stinks that they weren't able to get this game today, because, like, you're running 7 men again on Thursday after a lot of these guys played, like, max minutes. So yeah, it's going to be very hard. It's going to be very hard. And it's even harder because Dante's not giving you any production. You know, Hartenstein and Mitch, certain situations, they're not the right personnel for. And you're wondering, is Thibs going to be able to make those adjustments again in like he did in game 4? But yeah, it's really tough to lose this game. Yeah. It really felt like this team really had this game in the fourth quarter. They made all the right plays. You're getting a shit game from Embiid. Like, this is the essential game that you, this is the quintessential game that you want to win. Like, they have Embiid throwing up a stinker and your stars outperforming him. And your role players are showing up. Like, OG and Deuce, they had great games defensively, I thought, especially in that late in the fourth quarter. They got some great steals off of Embiid, who was really sloppy with the ball today, almost had a quadruple double with turnovers. But yeah, it really sucks to waste this game and sucks to not be able to close it out in front of the home crowd as well. But yeah, they got some things to they got some things to clean up, and it kind of was obvious where this game was going when the game started, because they started off the game really sloppy. And I know a lot of Knicks fans are like, you know, they started off most of their wins with sloppily, but I mean, you can't keep getting away with sloppy games against a team.
Well, you have to make it like, this is, I think Tibbs has been better with adjustments. That lineup fucking sucks, dude. It doesn't suck. That's wrong.
It's not working right now.
It's not working right now. Dante is playing terrible. Like, I cannot explain how many stupid fucking decisions he made today offensively. Like, that he had a drive in the first half. He literally just went into Embiid and then, like, threw up some shot that had no chance. And then I was, like, looking around, like, expecting a foul. I'm like, why would you expect a foul there? Like, why? Just get the fuck back, at least on defense. I thought he was terrible. I mean, he was terrible tonight. He's been terrible for basically this entire series aside from game two.
Yes.
And obviously that's a huge game. He had some huge shots on the stretch. Not just huge shots. He made a couple huge plays. So you get that. I get that. I'm not – and, you know, you got to get him going in some way, but it is not happening for him right now. And to leave him out there for as long as you did, I mean, it's just brutal. Like, you're allowed to win the games and try to win the minutes before there's 2 minutes left in the third quarter. Like, you're allowed to do that. If it's not working, just make an adjustment. And, like, you can sub Deuce and Dante in. Like, they can have more than one sub pattern in each half. Like, it's just, that's the one, I'm sorry, that's the most absurd part of, like, it is the thing that I think is still the most frustrating part of what Tibbs does at times. But yeah, look, the Dante minutes are just, they're brutal right now. He's giving them absolutely nothing. What did he do tonight? Dante DiVincenzo tonight, 3 of 10 from the field, 1 of 7 from three. He had 9 points. Somehow he was a +3. I'll promise you, he was not a positive in this game, though. Anybody that watched,
and he had stupid fouls too. It's like, dog, like, what are you doing?
Like, if you're gonna, this is another thing too. Like, him and Brunson tonight, and Hart, I think they all committed and one fouls. Where it's like, if you're gonna foul the guy, then just
wrap him up.
Foul him.
Wrap
Don't
him up.
Do the like half-assed. Like, just fucking foul him. It was just, yeah, DiVincenzo was brutal tonight. I don't think Deuce's defense was particularly great today, but he was a hell of a lot better than Dante overall. I mean, he was 6 of 11 from the field, 14 points. He had 4 assists, 4 rebounds. He had a steal. He had a block. Like, he played really – I thought he played a really solid game overall, even if there were some defensive fuck-ups involved there. But, like, yeah, I mean, look, it's – I forgot who posted it in here. I think it might have been Kenny Meir. I'll try to find the comment. Where is it? One second, whatever the fuck, I'll find it in a bit. Oh, here it is. Once Randle went down, DiVincenzo averaged 21 points per game and had some secondary creation. Him being a dud is just leaving literally everything on Brunson. It's not sustainable. I mean, it is not. It's not sustainable, but this is the series they're in right now. This is the situation they're in, and they have to figure it out. And to be fair, like, they did a good job throughout the game when Brunson was getting trapped. They were sending too, like, other guys were creating. But yeah, I mean, look, I just thought throughout the first half, I mean, the start of the game, they were super tight and they just played terribly. But there were just some puzzling decision-making throughout this game from various players. Like, OG Anunoby had 4 turnovers today. And a couple of them, he's just driving into the lane.
He's doing way too much creation.
And it's just like, and I understand that's like kind of the limitation of this team right now, and you need him to maybe take
try something. Yeah.
But there were a couple possessions where he gets.
That's where losing Boyan hurts so much, because he's able to do some of that creation.
Yeah. But like, there are a couple possessions where OG brings the ball up the floor And then he just like drives into the paint. Like one of them actually ended up, I think, with a Brunson three because he got stripped, but then he was able to recover, throw it to Hart. And then I think Hart might have passed it to Brunson. And then, but then he did it again, like very soon after that. And then he just turned it over and fell. And it's like, yeah, like, look, there was one in the second half, right, where he got hit and he started flexing his elbow. And like, do I think he got fouled on that play? Sure. Do I care that they didn't call it? No, because you're just barreling into the paint with your head down. What do you like? Why are they're not going to give you that call, bro? They're just not. And I have no interest in discussing the officiating. The officials didn't cost us the game. I thought they called a fine game. To be honest, yeah. I had no problem with the whistle tonight. Did they fucking miss some calls? Sure, they're gonna miss calls. But you can't tell me on aggregate that you watch this game and you're like, man, Knicks got a brutal whistle. They got five more free throws than the Sixers too. And sure, a couple of those are intentional fouls late in the game. And if you want to say that, you know, the OG foul where he splits the pair, that should have been a take foul. Yeah, I agree with that. But like again, I don't give a fuck. They had more than enough chances to put this game away, end the series, put the series away, really, and they pissed it away. So, you know, they got to eat this, they got to own it, and they've got 2 days to get their heads right because I'm sure this will sting because they were right there. They were right there to closing out the series. And they didn't. And it was all of them. It was not just one player or one coach or one decision. It was all of them. All of them fucked up at some point in this game. And, you know, you want to put that on Brunson, if you want to say the lion's share goes on Mitch or Tibbs or whatever, that's up to anybody's individual preference. But there's enough blame to go all around, and they all deserve blame for what the fuck we just watched at the end of that game.
Yeah, that was absolutely brutal. I mean, I know the resolve of this team is tough. They'll mentally bounce back from it. I know as fans, it's much harder for us to probably bounce back from that than they are. Than it is for them. I mean, let's get to some comments because I think these will help us gather our thoughts a little bit more and also for a discussion. Shout out to everyone that's in here. We got a ton of viewers from here and Twitter. If you're on Twitter, make sure you guys retweet the stream so other people can see. If you're on YouTube, leave a like and subscribe. Eric D. Lamon, I think that's an L. He said he's very confident. He says we're going to take it next game, but what the fuck, man? Yeah, that was brutal, especially that fourth, the last couple seconds, last 28 seconds. I mean, kind of harkens back some
again
Knicks past.
I know they didn't foul at the end of game two. They didn't foul at the end of game two, and that worked out. I would say a couple of key differences in that. Hartenstein was in the game. He's more mobile than Mitch, clearly, especially right now. And they played that really well. They basically just split the court into thirds. Hartenstein took the middle and they didn't run a really high screen and roll there. So it's a different situation. But like, I don't know. The only way they're going to get back into that game is to hit threes and to come out of a timeout. And again, I don't know where the blame lies. Maybe Mitch didn't listen to what Tibbs was telling him. Maybe Tibbs didn't bother to mention it. Who the fuck knows? Maybe he was just, you know, whatever it is.
We'll get some quotes soon, will probably hopefully justify or at least give us some explanation of what happened.
Tibbs won't say anything. There's no chance he'll say anything. Yeah. But like, it's to me, that's just, it's silly. And honestly, like to even have Mitch on the floor in that situation just doesn't make any sense to me.
You got to put Precious in there, even if he's
either you put Precious in there or you just put DiVincenzo in. It doesn't matter to me either way. Like you just switch everything there. That's the only thing you do there. You do not need to do anything else.
And that's why we were getting fried in like the fourth quarter and overtime because like they were just able to do whatever they wanted in the pick and roll with Embiid and Maxey. So. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing if there is an adjustment there in the coverage. We do got a super chat from HB Greg, $4.99. Thank you, Greg. The worst loss I've seen in my life. How old are you, Greg? I'm sure there are probably.
I don't know, man. He's not wrong. This is a pretty brutal loss.
It is.
This is as bad as, you know, as anything I can remember. This is as bad as probably this is up there with like the
Reggie Miller.
Yeah, the Reggie Miller game. This is up there with, I mean, both the Reggie Miller games, I guess. It's a pretty bad loss, man. I don't know what else to say really other than that. I think that's actually not that extreme of a take. Thank you for the super chat.
Yes.
I appreciate it.
Kenny Mayer, he says, Knicks had two timeouts in regulation. I really don't get why he didn't call a timeout there. There's no one to blame but ourselves. Maybe start a half with your head without your head up your ass for a change. Yeah, that helps as well. I thought defensively out of the first half, the Knicks were not that bad, but offensively it just wasn't there as it is for this team, apparently.
I feel like
the begin halves.
The defense was fine to start each half. I don't think that was really the big issue.
It's the offense. It's so stagnant. It's like
it looks like they haven't played together. I don't wonder, like, there are these possessions where Hartenstein gets the ball and then, like,
they look like they don't know what to do with each other.
And also, like, look, I love Hartenstein. I love all these guys, to be honest. But, like, it was, like, really weird where there were multiple times where, like, he had Brunson coming free around on a dribble handoff and he wouldn't give it to him. And then he'd, like, give it to DiVincenzo or to OG or something. And I'm like, what the fuck are we doing here? Like,
bizarre.
Yeah. Look, it is what it is. And, it sucks. But a couple of things the Knicks need to address on top of they lost the free throw battle today pretty badly, actually. They got out-rebounded 46-40. They gave up 12 offensive rebounds to the Sixers. They only had six themselves. They turned the ball over 14 times, which isn't that bad. But, a few of them are just, like, ridiculous turnovers. I don't really understand. There's one, again, like, where Hartenstein, he got the offensive rebound, or I think it was offensive rebound, maybe a loose ball. Or no, it was just a pass inside to him. And he had Brunson open at the top of the key, but then he, like, threw it to OG, who wasn't expecting the pass, and they got a turnover. I think they got an and one on that. But it's like, just, there's so many dumb plays. I mean, look, Josh Hart, again, guy did not sit. So if he's tired, I get that. Some of his three-point shooting today, the decisions to take some of these threes today, were crazy. Like, there were a couple that were fucking asinine. That one that he took in the corner towards the end of the first half over Embiid was ridiculous. Like, there was actually no reason to take that shot. It takes a village to lose a game the way they did, and the whole fucking village turned out for that. Just brutal. I mean, 6 of 9 from Brunson in the free throw line tonight. That's pretty brutal. He missed a pair in the first quarter. OG had 4 turnovers tonight. He's forcing passes, just driving into the paint with no plan. Like, just settle down. And the start of each half, like, I thought Brunson was playing really, really fast at the start of the game when he would get the ball, but then they wouldn't get into sets, like, until there was, like, 6 seconds on the shot clock. It's just a very weird performance. And I understand, like, everybody's amped up. The stadium is obviously rocking, so it's got to settle yourselves. But they've got to figure it out, man, because these start of the halves are killing them. They're killing them.
And with the playoffs, it's all about, like, those minutes right there. Those, like, minutes to start halves, like, every little detail, every little minute, you got to win on the margins there with those things.
This is from HB Greg. Thank you again for the additional super chat. The only positive is Embiid looked like shit only one day between games. Yeah. He was terrible tonight. And honestly, I know his numbers on the surface look good. I think he's been pretty bad for the majority of the series, offensively anyways. Defensively, he just has such an impact even when he's not able to move. And the Knicks have just not... Again, like, I get why Fitz is doing... Like, he loves his centers, and I understand why. They're both very good. Obviously, Hartenstein and Mitch. Neither had a particularly great game tonight, but I think we all know that, like, on the aggregate, they're very good players. But Embiid can't move. So this is, like, a perfect matchup to just try going small for a little bit. Just try putting OG at the 5 and forcing him to come out of the paint more consistently, defend on the perimeter. Maybe it won't work. But you know what I know isn't working? Whatever the fuck that starting lineup is. So if you want to cut some of the minutes of that starting lineup and try that out, I would be all for that. I would love it, actually. And it's weird, like, because I was so stunned when Tibbs went five out to match Philly going five out with Embiid off the floor. For him to just make misjudgments down the stretch from a coaching perspective, it's brutal. It was brutal. And again, it was all of them. You know, we've talked about it. Like, yes, maybe you shouldn't have Mitch on the floor. I also think it's a situation where it's like, I don't know that it's like, Mitch, could you just stay on your feet? Could you stay on your feet? Or could you come up really high, take away the three? I still like the foul on the 4-point play is one thing. I still can't get over that last play on Maxi. I have no clue what he's doing. He's not even like, he didn't even contest the shot really, because he's so fucking far away from it. Yeah, just brutal.
Yeah. Martin B asked, did anyone other than Brunson touch the ball in overtime? I mean, I think we kind of discussed this. No, not really. I mean, it was just him with the Hart. Ball in his hands. Hart
touched it on a fast break, and Deuce touched it on the last shot of the game. So congrats.
Yeah. Man, what are we going to do with this Dante situation? I mean, do we start Deuce next game?
I doubt it. By the way, this is interesting. Tom Thibodeau, this is from Jordan Bubb. Tom Thibodeau was asked to follow up on saying that the Knicks could have fouled up three, implied that the message just didn't kind of cross well enough on when to foul and when to not foul. Our communication has to be better if you miss two and you say foul. I don't really know what to say about that. I feel like
at this point in the year,
if the message is not getting across there, then I'm sorry, that is on Tibbs. Like, if that message is not getting across there, that is on you as a coach, because it's a very pretty fucking basic message, dude. And honestly, forget being down. You're all fucking six. Just foul then, man. Just fucking foul then. Turn into a free throw contest for the last 30 seconds. You're probably gonna end up taking that in a cake.
Winning, but in, odds are you're gonna win that.
Yeah,
up six.
I just. Musa, Jordan Bubb, OG Anunoby. That's on us. We got to execute better. We'll be better. I mean, I fucking hope so.
Sure, yeah. I, as much as I would love chances of getting tickets for a game seven in MSG, I kind of don't want to do that. But yeah, let's just execute.
You can
better.
Afford that on your elite teacher salary. Eric Adams is hooking you guys up.
No. Eric Adams is making sure that teachers cannot attend MSG at all. Making sure his ass can. He's fucking on drink champs and shit.
Bro, this is insane. It's from HP Craig. Sixers coach Nick Nurse injured his finger when he slammed his hand in frustration on a call during Sixers game 5 win at MSG. Unclear if it is a break or sprain. Nurse couldn't draw up plays in the second half because he couldn't grip a marker. Are you kidding me?
Boo-hoo. Get a bandage on it and sack up, Nick Nurse.
Jan and DC. The offensive sets, in air quotes, and overtime are just laughably bad. I mean, I don't
want to rewatch that overtime.
I'm definitely not. Anybody that's shout out to all the people that are going to do film threads, because
poof, God bless your soul.
I will not be watching the film threads nor this game ever again.
I will retweet them so that way you all can get your due for all our friends at the Strickland and friends of the Strickland. But yeah.
Yeah.
Not going to watch them.
I don't even really have a problem with the sets. I have a problem with the decision making. And like, ultimately, it's yes. If your point is, and I agree with this, there's other things we can do other than just have Brunson, obviously run pick and roll, mismatch hunt, ISO, whatever. Yes, 100% agree with that. If you are going to do that, though, as a coach, then it becomes it falls on the player to deliver. And deliver consistently, not just in terms of shot making, but decision making. And I thought Brunson's decision making was very, very shaky in overtime. Look, he's probably exhausted. Guy played 51 minutes tonight. You could tell in the fourth quarter he was absolutely gassed when he took him out for a couple minutes. But it is what it is, man. Maxi played what? Maxi played 52 minutes tonight. So it's not like he wasn't playing a shit ton of minutes either, right? So Knicks got to be better. And then the Knicks got to figure out what the hell they're going to do with this Maxi thing, because he's the only fucking guy that is burning you right now. Look, I'm just looking at his box score. Joel Embiid, 19 points on 19 shots, somehow at a triple-double. I can't even remember. I don't know how the fuck he got 10 assists. Nine turnovers, though. Tobias Harris, his best game of the series, 7-11.
Bro, that was the most annoying whatever, however many points
that he had. That jumper he made on OG was crazy. Kelly Oubre, 6 of 13, 14 points. That's basically it, though. There's not, like, 0 points for Kyle Lowry. 8 points for Nick Batum on 8 shots. Who cares? Paul Jesus. Reed, 0 points in 4 minutes. Campaign, 6 points on 5 shots. Like, Maxey's the guy that's burning you. And I understand that, like, a lot of the stuff that he's getting opens up because of Embiid and the attention he demands. But, like, I don't know, man. I mean, you're watching this game play out. I would have loved to just take away Maxey and force Embiid to be me. Because I thought Embiid was terrible throughout the game tonight. And Maxey was not. Maxey was on it from the start.
Embiid just didn't have it at all.
Yeah, he was terrible. He was garbage tonight. So, whatever. I think that's something. Look, it's easy to kind of
say things in hindsight.
Yeah, it's easy to say that.
Hindsight's 20/20, like they say.
But you know, the guy's been burning you now for the whole fucking series. You might want to do something there to take care of it. H22, Deuce Deadass, the only one who hasn't had a bad game all series. Basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Shout out to Deuce, man. I mean, going above and beyond what any of us could have imagined him doing in the playoffs. Because I think we all kind of had a sour taste from previous young Knicks guards that have all departed us now and their performances in the playoffs. I mean, IQ, as much as we love him, didn't perform in the playoffs. Grimes, I mean, credit to him for that one play on Jimmy Butler in the Heat series. But other than that, really nothing memorable in the playoffs at all either. But Deuce is giving you constant moments every single
consistent.
Game.
Yeah, consistent.
Consistently. So you got to give him a huge shout out for that.
Yep. Kenny Mears says, I'm not sure what sets people want to be run with Deuce, Hart, OG, Mitch on the court. Do you want any of them with the balls in their hands creating? Sorry, with the ball in their hands creating. I don't know about that. But I think, look, Mitch is definitely limits some of the flexibility you have offensively because it's very obvious they don't trust him with the ball, and for good reason. Every time he gets the ball, it feels like an adventure that I don't want to have. There was one play in this game where Mitch was wide open. It was an inbounds play. And I don't know if it was – I think it was Deuce. Deuce, like, looked at him and was like, yeah, no, I'm not throwing it to him. He had to force the ball to Brunson. That was the one where Oubre threw it off Brunson. And they called it out on Brunson, even though it hit Oubre out of bounds. Didn't hurt the Knicks, but I thought that was kind of like, I was like, oh yeah, all right, I see. It's definitely been a thing. It's a thing, and I agree. Like, I think there's just limitations to what you can do, but they have shown an ability at times to break them down, utilizing the team. And I mean, whatever that overtime was, it was just. You just can't have an entire 5-minute period where the ball is just in one guy's hand the entire time. And look, it was tough. It's tough to watch. This is from Jordan Bubb. Knicks first and third quarters. Plus minus game one, first minus nine, third minus 15. Game two, first quarter minus eight, third plus nine. Game three, first quarter plus two, third quarter minus 16. First game four, first quarter, minus 10, plus three in the third. And then today, I mean, these can't be right from today, right? First quarter, minus 25, third quarter, minus 19. That there's no way that's right. But they were terrible in these, in both those quarters. They were really bad. They had 17 points in the first quarter. Like, that's, you can just look at the fucking box score and you see it. All right. Here's the box score. Knicks, this is just what they scored by quarter. First quarter, 17. Second quarter, 32. Third quarter, 21. Fourth quarter, 27. It's pretty obvious what's happening here. You've got to figure that out. And if that means that Dante moves to the bench, so be it.
Yeah, Dante might have to go to the bench, man. It's brutal. And the Warriors fans, they kind of warned us about, like, Dante. And I know, like, he was in a different situation in Golden State. But still, it's very eerie, the performances in the playoffs. I know we're kind of asking him to do a little bit more than what he signed on to be, but I mean, he kind of was able to do that for most of the regular season. So it was like, it's kind of jarring to see him like kind of completely shit himself in the playoffs in a way. And this lack of composure, with the fouling and just like looking out of sorts on offense in these games, besides games two, is just really bizarre.
Yeah.
I got Dawn Staley on Twitter telling Sixers fans not to sell their tickets now to game six.
I don't know if people understand this. It's not the Sixers fans that were selling the tickets.
No, I think she was just talking to the people who like resell their tickets. Because there are people that do resell them on like those apps, and then Knicks fans just pick them up. But there are, I do know what you're talking about. Like, because for game, I think four and game three, like right before tip, like there were still like retail tickets available, and Knicks fans just scooped them up, and they're like super cheap. So, but yeah, I mean, hopefully Knicks can have a little bit of home court advantage on in Philly. I know I really don't care about the home court advantage thing. I think the Knicks will perform well on the road regardless. I am concerned a little bit about, I guess, the Philly with.
I'm gonna be honest. I don't know where Sam went. But I'm not that worried about the whistle. The whistle has been fine in this series. The only thing that sucked in terms of officiating in the series was Joel Embiid staying in game three, which he shouldn't have. I'm not going to harp on it. I don't think it's worth harping on, and it is what it is. Aside from that, I don't really have a huge problem with the officiating. I think they've been fine. So I'm not going to even raise that as a concern or an issue, because I think it's cheap. I think it's not, I mean, I know you're not doing this, but I feel like I've just seen way too many Knicks fans immediately jump to blaming the officiating at various points when the Knicks are struggling. And I just don't, I don't see it. I don't see that as like being a thing. This from HB Greg again. Thank you for the super chat. Eric Adams got him.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. Eric Adams has his hands full with other things in New York at the moment, by the way. If he's even in New York, because he's doing drink champs with okay. What other comments we got here? We do have Nafa Mahuda, who does bring up the Deuce starting over Dante DiVincenzo. It's so rough now, because it's like with the bench too, like Boyan being out, like, are we really just about to run a 7-man rotation for the rest of the playoffs? And like, it's like sort of six now, because like Dante is like doing nothing.
Yeah, I mean,
it's brutal right now. And yeah, guys are gassed. That John Larry says, I guess it's 7-man rotation rest of the way. These guys are gassed, not using it as an excuse, but I just think it's the case. Yeah, I mean, even in this game, you saw there was moments like I thought Embiid was going to go the whole second half. I thought Jalen Brunson was going to go the whole second half, but they ended up getting like a couple minutes of rest, each of them. Were the Knicks able to take advantage of those non-Embiid minutes, by the way? I can't really remember.
Yeah, yeah, they blitzed them, and that's why Paul Reed didn't play in the second half. He tried
They went five out. Yeah, Paul Reed's been absolutely brutal. Holy shit. I mean, the playoffs, they show you like who's made for it and who's not, and like it shows you like the deficits in your roster and your lineup. I mean, what are the Sixers going to do in game six? I mean, Embiid's going to be still hobbled, probably even more. Are they just going to go five out again with what they did? I mean, not even play Paul Reed, because they're not even playing Buddy Hield either right now. So like they're going to have to go what, seven deep as well. It's very interesting how this series is going to play out going the rest of the way. In game six.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'm just not. If you're gonna do 7-man, that's fine. If you're gonna have an 8-man rotation, then it's precious. I'm not interested in Alec fucking Burks.
Oh hell no.
Shake Milton.
Oh yeah, no. Like,
it's you're either adding precious to the rotation or nothing, because I don't really. think there's much else to.
Yeah, I mean, even with Alec Burks, they said, like, even before the game, like, they said his shoulder's still not even 100%. So it's like, why even, like, put him out there when he's going to be a deficit, even if he was healthy? So it's like, just put Precious out there. You know what Precious can give you. You see what he's giving you in these lineups. He's, like, it's better the devil that you know than the devil that you don't know, as they say.
Judah Bencher. Deuce is perfect for this matchup on paper, and considering he's played great even on offense and Dante's played atrocious, there's no justification for Deuce not taking the heavy minutes over Dante. I mean, look, for what it's worth, Deuce played 33 minutes tonight. Dante played 26. I think the last game, Deuce played 27. Dante played 28 or something like that. He might have actually played. I think he's played more than him in two of the five games, and I'm pretty confident he's played. I mean, and then last game, they pretty much were even. So it's not like, I think Tibbs sees it and he feels it, but we know Tibbs. We know what he's going to do. He sticks with the starting lineups and is like, I think for him, he's probably like, it's too late for me to change the lineup, which, okay, fine. But you've got to be quicker with these subs, man, because that starting lineup is just killing us. You're playing from a deficit in each half. You can't keep starting games like that. And you've got to expend so much energy coming back. It's just brutal, man. It's tough. HB Greg, thank you again for the super chat. This is how Liverpool fans felt in the 4-3 FA Cup. Yeah. Yes.
I'm not familiar with this reference.
Well, don't worry. It was brutal for Liverpool fans. Good for me. It's also the last good thing soccer has given me this year. So,
Oh, man. Let's see what other comments we have here. There's some comments that I would like to bring up so you get a good laugh, but I'll save them. Jordan and Bob, Tom Thibodeau solemnly on Brunson's turnover late. I believe it was Isaiah in the corner who was cutting, and Jalen thought he was spotting. So is that it?
I don't know. I'm sure there's more, but yeah. This is from Omar. Yusuf feels like Nurse added some sets to get guys backdoor for easy buckets. We need to be prepared for that.
I also felt like we were doubling a bunch, so we didn't need to. Like, they were doubling and beat a bunch on that. I think that's how he got some of the assists, too.
It was driving me crazy. I'm like, he's not doing anything. Like,
yeah, like, you don't need to double him. He's actually shitting himself right now.
Yeah, I could understand doubling him. I think we talked about this in the game chat. He was, every time he spun baseline, I didn't mind seeing the double then, because he was turning it over. He's kind of reckless on those. So that one is fine. Like, when he's spinning baseline, he can send help. That's fine. But the ones where he's just standing and trying to post Mitch, I'm like, why are you sending any help?
He's in the middle of the court. Like, it's so easy for him to see, like, if there's someone. Like, there was a play where Kelly Oubre got this wide open layup and where they doubled him. And, like, they doubled him at the top of the key, and Oubre was, like, right in front of the basket.
Yeah. Omar Yusuf, Tibbs just gonna have to learn Mitch as a liability in the situation in the game, not to mention God forbid he catches the ball and gets out of the line. Yeah, I agree. I'm surprised that Nurse didn't do any hack of Mitch, considering how much trouble he was giving Embiid in that stretch of this game. Cameron Levy, you guys already probably touched on this, but I don't think Mitch fucked up a ton on the last second three. Ain't nobody thought Max was pulling from there. I
knew Maxi was pulling.
Yeah, I actually think he fucked up on that. He was like a step out above the line, above the 3-point line, above the break. You've got to, like, once you see Embiid setting the screen wherever the fuck he set it, which I genuinely think it was like half court, maybe even before that, you've got to come up higher because your man, his man, Deuce in that situation, is going to be behind the play. Maybe he can get a rear view contest. But you've got to slow Maxi down. You can't just let him. He just dribbled into that with so much rhythm. Like, there was no pressure on him at all. It was just a very bizarre one to watch for me. And as soon as it left his hands, I was like, well, that sucks because that's going in. Yeah. Nora. This is from Nora. This is a quote from Mitch. Mitchell Robinson asked about Tyrese Maxey's 4-point play. I have to take a look at man. I fucked up. At least this team takes accountability than cry like Sixers. Yeah, he took accountability, but I would love for him to just not have to take accountability and just make the right play in the game. That would have been nice. But yeah, it is very, very annoying. No question about it.
Yeah, for sure. Connor McCollum, he says, this is probably just cope, but we only need one of the next two. Embiid is logging heavy minutes. Hopefully he continues to wear down. Yeah, I mean, that's looking like it's probably most likely going to be the case in terms of his durability. There we go. His durability. He looks bad lately, like just really bad. And it sucks that we weren't able to take advantage of this game. But yeah.
Sorry. This remark, Tip stuck with Mitch way too long. I heard should have been in a more mobile big. I have no issue with him sticking with Mitch to when he did, when we were up 96-90. Okay, that's fine. He had Embiid in fucking hell, man. He was awesome in that fourth quarter defensively on Embiid. You've got to know what this is. I'll never understand this stuff. Tibbs is, this is one of his like things where he's just got to have a center on the floor. And it's like, dude, what the fuck is a center doing for you in that position? Like, what do you think the Sixers are doing there? They're gonna post Embiid? They're gonna drive to the rim? Like, and if they drive to the rim, who fucking cares? Let them drive to the rim. Go. Have a layup. Have a fucking layup all day. All day you can have a layup. The three is the only thing that's going to kill you there. It's a terrible decision from him. And yeah, Mitch has to be smarter and better. He should never be in that position. I'm sorry. Tibbs has to own that one. He's got to.
Yeah. That's on him there. Kenny Mears says Tibbs has to roll with an eighth man in the second quarter. It's going to matter in the fourth quarter. Both teams are gassed. Yeah, for sure. I mean, especially if the 76ers are going to not play Paul Reed, because like he's been absolutely killing them, and Knicks have taken advantage of those minutes a ton. So Knicks are going to have to go with that eighth man, and Precious isn't like the worst option for an eighth man at this point. Like, we've seen what he can give us in like those limited minutes. So it's like,
I mean, it's just crazy. Like, it is crazy to me for him to play the way he did
in game four and not touch the court at all today.
And to be in the situation the Knicks were to have a chance to close the series out up six.
You have to pull out all the stops. You have to pull out all the stops.
It's crazy to me to not
try it.
Put him in there. I think it's genuinely, again, like even if you didn't want to put Precious in, just go small, put DiVincenzo in, have OG at the five, switch everything. That's all you have to do there. It's just, it drove me absolutely crazy. Jalen Brunson on what, this from Jordan Bubb, Jalen Brunson on what Tom Thibodeau describes as a lack of communication regarding fouling up three late. That's on me. I don't even know how that's on Brunson, to be completely honest. I'm sure that's just like one of those things Brunson's just going to keep saying it's on me or whatever, but whatever. Yeah.
Kofi Amonkwa Jr. brings up 2013 NBA playoff loss to the Celtics, saying this is kind of sort of similar, could have swept the seas, but dragged on to six games against the corpses of Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. Yeah, it was kind of sort of similar in a way. It does remind me of that series, how the Knicks were, they could have closed things out much sooner than they did and dragged it on much too long against that old Celtics team. He says that was the last real bad loss in the playoffs I can remember. The back-to-back losses against the Celtics in 2013. Knicks lucked out in game six when they nearly pissed the game away, but luckily won. Yeah, this game had a similar feel of like Knicks like almost like Knicks like pissing away a game, and they could have won it. In game six, we'll see what happens in game six this year. On the road again versus a hobble team. Yes, Neil Schmidt also brings up the OG pass to Mitch. Yeah, that Mitch OG's creation, and then like you also got to know your personnel there. Like that behind the back pass to Mitch, that turnover was brutal towards the end of the game.
Yeah, it didn't cost them. I think Philly turned it over on the next possession, or they didn't convert. But yeah, it was a brutal play.
Yeah. I feel like this. Jordan Bubb says I feel like this in the Nuggets and Lakers series. But the East Coast edition with Randall, our second star, being injured. He always says, you feel like this is the Nuggets and Lakers series. Oh, like every game is close, I guess. And like the teams are sort of evenly matched, 2-7 matchup.
Look, I get it. Randall's out. And it sucks. Especially you can see how much like Brunson has to do. But they should have won the series today. So it is what it is. Like, he's out. He's not coming back anyway. So just really frustrating for them to complete. Like, and again, it's not just one guy. It's everyone. All of them fucked up towards the end of this game, right? Josh Hart missed a free throw. OG missed a free throw. Mitch's fuck-ups. We don't need to relive that again. Brunson had his fair share of fuck-ups, right? Like, they all fucked up. Tibbs' decision-making. All of them fucked up. So, and look, Dante's played so bad that Tibbs didn't even want to fucking throw him back in the game. He used him for 5 seconds when they went 5-0. Congratulations to Dante.
Yeah, Dante's got a sack up, man. Kenny Mayer says, this feels like the first real playoff battle the Knicks have been in since 2000. The ebbs and flows of the games. It's been a memorable series. This sucks in the moment, but this is why we watch all year. Some interesting perspective there from Kenny. Professor X. Hello, Charles Xavier. He says, if Thibs doesn't make a lineup change, he has to get Deuce into the game quicker. Can't have Devo doing cardio out there. Yeah, that's the thing that we kind of talked about in before game. When we were doing the game three post game. Or were we doing the game three post game? No, we weren't doing the game three post game. I think it was game two post game that we were doing. We were talking about, like, he needs to make adjustments quicker. And this was one of those games where he needed to make adjustments a little bit quicker. And we talked about it a ton with the fourth quarter. And going into next game, if Dante doesn't have it going, I think he needs to get Deuce in there much quicker, because you can't afford little slips like that in a game six on the road in their house.
Yep.
Yo says Devo's an 82-game player. And Jordan Bubb says game six will be Thursday at 8 p.m. if the Pacers win tonight, 9 p.m. if the Bucks win. 9 p.m.? What the hell? Why is that?
Wait, what is?
Our game six, Thursday.
It's at 9 p.m.?
It'll be 8 p.m. if the Pacers win tonight, 9 p.m. if the Bucks win.
I guess that would be, like, the only game of the night or something? I have no idea.
I have no idea, but that's so bizarre that a game on the East Coast would be in Philadelphia, be at 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. But
Cleveland won by 1 point, by the way.
Yeah, I was watching the end of that game. I think Marcus Morris and Tristan Thompson were on the court for the end of the game.
That's pretty
bizarre game over there in Cleveland. But yeah, let's see what other comments we have here. All right, gonna ignore some of those because those are very negative and don't want to put ourselves in that mindset.
Yeah. This is from Kid Kuro. Knicks beat themselves this game. It sucks, but I'm confident they got game six. Team seems very aware where they messed up at. They've earned the benefit of the doubt to close it out. Look, they can obviously win this game. They can obviously win game six, sorry. They already won a game in Philly, so we know they're fully capable of doing that. But you gave a team life that really they had none. They were on fucking life support. They were about to pull the plug. Let them back, and now you got to play another fucking hard. You know, every game in the series has been hard fought. And you got to put yourself through that again. And you're on the road. And it sucks, man. But yes, I agree. They deserve the benefit of the doubt. They've shown that they're resilient and that they can bounce back from these things. They've got to do it now. So it is what it is.
Wow, Donovan Mitchell giving props to Marcus Morris in the post-game interview.
Did?
Donovan Mitchell gave props to Marcus Morris.
Yeah.
In the post-game interview. This league, man. Judah Benchar, he says, but Schwinn, Deuce has played slightly more, making the adjustment way too late. At least if you still start Dante, sub in Deuce 4 to 6 minutes in and play him the heavy playoff starter minutes. Yeah, hopefully that's the adjustment that Thibs makes in the
look, next game. I agree with this. I've been saying this. I've been hinting at it, saying it, whatever, for a few games now. Like, Dante's been fucking bad. He's been bad. I'm happy he made the game winner in game two, but he's been bad. Flat out. He's been bad in this series. So at some point, you got to make a quicker adjustment. And again, like, that third quarter, I don't even know what to say about that. You're up 6 at halftime. You've got all the momentum. You come out and you just fucking poop your pants. collectively as a group, that group had no juice. It looked like they came out drunk. Like they had no juice at all. Tibbs had to call a timeout like a minute and a half into the fucking half. Because he was like, you know, we just were so flat. They scored 4 points like that. And we looked clueless on offense. You got to make quicker adjustments. I'm sorry. Like, and you know, look, the Hartenstein, Mitch thing, you know, if he's worried like about Mitch's minutes or whatever, you know, okay, I get that. You have a third center, and we saw him play exceptionally well in the last game. So if you're like, oh, I got to manage Hartenstein's minutes and Mitch's minutes or whatever you're fucking doing, okay, then let Precious play, man. Then give him a couple minutes if that's what you need. Just, I don't know. Look, I love the job Tibbs has done this year. I think this is his best coaching year. I love that he went 5 out today when the Sixers went 5 out. That's something that he often does. I mean, not often. That's like something he's never done, really. But it's not like he's coaching a perfect series or a perfect game or anything. Like, there's definitely stuff for him to do better. And that's one of them for sure.
Having a cracker. Hold up.
Jordan Bubb, this is from Brunson. Brunson, we're going to have confidence going back to Philly. It's not time to hang your head no matter what the situation. I know he's got to say that. I don't want to hear that shit right now. Like, there's nothing he could say. To be fair, like, this is a dumb thing to get mad about because there's literally nothing he could say right now.
He's giving you all the cliche BS that he always gives.
There's nothing he could say right now that would not piss me off. So, like, whatever. But... yeah,
it's Brunson's thing to give you the cliche robotic answer.
This is a little borderline, but I'm gonna put it up here because I think it's hilarious. Judah Bencher, nah, Dante doing more than cardio. He's burning a lot of calories, engaging in intense fucking of his team. He's been really bad, man. He was terrible tonight.
Brutal.
He took a three in the third quarter. That like. As soon as it left his hands, I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me, bro. That shit like hit the front rim. It was disgusting. It was a disgusting shot. I was shocked when he hit that reverse layup. I was like 100% sure he's gonna smoke that. But he didn't hit that. But he's inspiring very, very little confidence with his play right now. That's what I can say. He's inspiring very little confidence in his play right now.
I don't feel comfortable with him on the basketball court right now, and that's something I didn't think I would say about him all year. So
yeah, he's got to find whatever it is. He's just forcing up a lot of bad shots.
Yeah.
Some Jordan Bubb. Will Sixers go 5 out for the remainder of the series when Embiid is resting? They might.
Most likely.
Paul Reed's been brutal. He's been terrible.
Absolutely awful. Worst series by a guy talking shit before the series, by the way.
To be fair, like, I mean, you...
No one cares about Paul Reed's opinion.
Yeah, it was stupid for him to say it. But, like, you... Like, I'm being honest. Like, I get what he was saying. Like, he's not wrong. It's just a crazy thing to say out loud. You just don't say that out loud. You're like,
especially when you're Paul fucking Reed.
Yeah, look. I think we can all be honest. It's not like exactly a hot take to be like, yeah, we'd rather play the Knicks than the Celtics, right? Like, or we'd rather avoid Boston until the Eastern Conference Finals, even if that means we have a tougher opening round matchup or whatever the fuck, right? I get what he's saying. You can't say that, man. You just can't. Yeah. You just can't say that. It's crazy.
Yeah, especially when you're Paul Reed. Like, you don't get to say that.
Or Yusuf, bro, you're really up 5 to start overtime. 9 of 10 times a team get up 5 and OT like that, they win. I'm not sitting for the next 48 hours. This was another possession here. You're up 5. Somehow Tyrese Maxey is able to get a wide open 3 here. Like, I'm pretty sure that's what happened, right? That was the possession. They got a wide open 3 on this. Let me see. I can pull it up right now. Find out. Just absolutely crazy stuff.
Bro, how am I supposed to go teach my students after a loss like this, dog?
I don't know. Ask Eric Adams for support. But yeah, this was right after a timeout. So Brunson makes a 2 to put us up 5. Philly takes a timeout. Maxey takes a 25-foot step back jumper. That's what it says in the play-by-play. But I remember this play. He's like wide open on this play. And it was Mitch. Mitch put on him and Mitch backed way off. And I'm like,
yeah, that play like drove me insane.
I'm like, I just couldn't get it. I'm like,
that is when you pull him off the court.
I mean, he did come out like pretty close after that. Yeah, he came out basically at the next stoppage of play.
Okay.
But so, fair. It's just, you just got burned twice at the end of regulation. Play the fuck up on him, man. Like, it's just fucking crazy to me.
He knows what he wants to do.
He did not learn in this game. He did not learn.
Maxey was not really looking to drive that often. He only drove when he had like Josh Hart or someone else on him. When it was Mitch, Mitch has to know when Maxey sees you, he's taking a three, dog.
It's crazy.
And even if he gets past you, there's help. Like, at least there's help.
Yeah. Ashe Mapuranga says, "What if I have Bobby Bacala right now?"
Dog.
Hey, Bobby could dunk. He could dunk. Steve Sherpa might have been in this game. You should ask him. Just, hey, you want to suit up, buddy?
he has beef with Oubre, so
I don't know.
We're gonna be on the court.
If we can get one of those like belts to like, you know, shove his fucking belly in, maybe
a waist trainer.
Maybe you could pass for Dante. Yeah, that's Dante. Looks a lot like Bobby Bacalod. No, it's Dante. Dante, don't worry. Jordan Bub posted this. Robinson was asked as a follow-up to this about what he can do better next game. The answer to the forward is don't foul his ass. I mean, look, again, this is one of those things where no matter what he says, I'm just going to like shut the fuck up. So that's how I feel about it right now. Shut the fuck up. And, you know, it is what it is. Credit to the Sixers, though. They did a really good job on the Knicks today in terms of boxing out. Knicks only got 6 offensive rebounds. So
yeah, we didn't get a lot of those, like, back-breaking traditional Sixers possessions. There was a rebound that Tobias Harris got that I was like, damn, we should have got that one. It was like in the fourth quarter. It was like a rebound he got, and I was like so pissed because like I felt like we should have got that rebound. But yeah, this was, I mean, credit to them, you know. They did what they had to. Maxey absolutely balled the fuck out in MSG. Saved Embiid. Holy shit, he saved the hell out of Embiid. Because if they lost today, a lot of talk would have been about like how great Maxey is, but a lot of talk would have been about how bad Joel Embiid was.
I'm sure anybody that's listening to this is aware of this. I'm like extremely superstitious during games. Like I just can't. Yes. Like there's certain it actively bothers me when there's still time in the clock. And if it's like, if it's literally a single digit game of any kind, if they're up 9 with like 15 seconds left, it actually bothers me if somebody is still like, oh, this is over. Like we got this. Like it just drives me nuts. So I'm like extremely superstitious. I just watching the end of this game, I just felt like Clyde even said something ridiculous. Like we were up 3 and he was like, it's like, they're running away with it or some
crazy. He's like, we're going to party like 99 tonight. I was like, dog, you don't say that. It's all like 4 minutes left in the game. We're up by 3.
Dude, that was crazy. Shout out to Mike Breen though tonight. Was definitely not doing the cop. He was not being a cop tonight. Great call from him tonight.
He was on it with the deuce call. I mean, where they called the ball out on us and it should have been out on Batum. He was on it on the other way when they blew that call and the Knicks challenged it. He was like, nah, that's not a foul. So yeah, he was on it. He was on his shit tonight. Credit to him.
Yeah. But yeah, like it's very, 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 very frustrating game.
Ace Bichard says to teach the kids tomorrow not to play like the basketball like the Knicks did today, apparently. Yeah. How is he modern day Charles Smith?
Yeah, I don't know about that's. I don't know. He's going to need to pump fake and get blocked 15 times. HB Greg, the refs missed an obvious fake foul at the end of the game. Are you talking about the is this the Batum block on Brunson that we're talking about here? Maybe. I don't know. It's just a bad shot from Brunson. I didn't mind. Like, if you're gonna go there, you can go. I don't think you can take. You can't take a runner there. I think you just have to like. You have to take kind of a step back jumper or pull up jumper there.
Another reason why I think the Knicks should have called a timeout there. The Knicks have been all out of sorts there.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Knicks were all out of sorts all night. You have to recognize when your team just doesn't have the composure and you need them to, like, you need to run a set.
He meant to say take foul
on OG, yeah, right?
I got to say, like, we've seen, obviously, take fouls given for that. I kind of think that's, like, a harsh one because it looks like he's actually trying to make a play on the ball. Like, OG kind of crosses him up. If I'm a ref and I'm watching that play, to me, it doesn't look like he's just intentionally fouling him there. Now, look, he might be trying to foul him there, but I do think it's hard in real time to be like, well, it's a take foul. I thought that looked like it could be, you know, you could definitely look at that and be like, oh, he's making a play on the ball. So, yeah.
I would have loved that.
Shizzy M, too many people sleep on Maxey's ability to take over, averaging only 3 points less than Brunson this season, both All-Stars this year. I don't think anybody's really sleeping on it, but the fact of the matter is, like, he clearly benefits a ton from having Embiid on the floor, even when Embiid is playing like a shitter because of the attention he commands. And his on-off, like, it's obvious. Like, you watch this series, as soon as Embiid's off the floor, they go to shit. They go to shit. And that's even with Maxey on, even then. He's a very good player. I don't think anybody's denying that. But, you know, the Knicks got to find a way to get him. Look, you're never going to shut these guys down, right? You're like, the Sixers aren't going to shut down Jalen Brunson. It's never going to happen. But you've got to slow down. You got to make it harder for him. And, you know, one thing I will say, and I know it didn't matter tonight. And again, I really don't. The officiating for me is whatever. I'm not that worried about it or pissed about it. Bro, Kyle Lowry, like, I know he had 5 fouls tonight. He committed about 47 fouls tonight. He had one play where he's literally holding on to Mitch. And it's like, what is Mitch? If Mitch on the play before, they called a foul on Mitch for going through him. On this play, he's just holding Mitch. And I'm like, what is Mitch supposed to do there? It's the second time in the series now in two consecutive games, by the way, that he's drawn a charge on an inbounds play as he slides.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Some of the stuff he was doing on Brunson and the bigs in general, his screening, he was just hugging guys. I'm like, come on, man. What are we doing here?
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous to watch. I can't stand that guy.
The NBA, it's because the NBA allows him to do it because, like, they don't get on him about it. And I don't know what he's done to earn his reputation. Like, okay, he won one chip because Kawhi carried his ass. But, like, what has he done? What has he done to earn this reputation? I honestly don't get it. But, yeah, it's frustrating shit like that. What are the comments we have here? HB Greg says we were out-rebounded, had less attempts, less assists, less steals, less blocks, more turnovers, less points in the paint, more fouls, less fast break points, beat in every sense of the game. Yeah, it just wasn't our game. It just didn't feel like our type of game either. Like, Knicks usually have this type of feel to them where, you know, they're getting every 50-50 ball and stuff like that. And today just didn't feel like that.
Yeah, I mean, they had some weird bad luck too. Like, there was that one where Embiid drove, Mitch stripped him, and then somehow Embiid was able to, like, get the ball back and then tip it out to somebody. It might have been Maxey, somebody for a three. There's one where Maxey, he got stripped. I think Deuce stripped him driving to the rim, but then he was able to get that somehow. He tipped it out maybe to Embiid or somebody. They were able to score. So, I mean, look, I'm not going to do the Embiid thing of, like, oh, well, you know, it's just bad luck. And I mean, some of it is bad luck, but yeah, they didn't come up with those loose balls. I mean, and there was a few times OG had inside position on a rebound and was unable to, like, grab the rebound. I think both times they tipped that out of bounds, but it was just a weird one to me where I'm like, dude, just get the fucking ball. You're right there. You had the inside position. There's no excuse not to grab it there.
Yeah.
Dude, this guy is – I love New York. This is from Joel Embiid, HB Grab. I love New York. New York is my favorite city in the world. Joel Embiid was asked about playing the villain in the series. Bro, you played like dog shit tonight. So cool. Let's hope you love New York that so much. No, Rod.
They should ask Embiid about his foul again today. This dude has a mission to just absolutely beat the shit out of every Knicks player on the court, it seems, this series.
I will say, I think a flagrant one is perfectly fine there.
Yeah, that's fine.
I will never understand that being a flagrant one based on the two calls that just stand out to me. The Josh Hart one against Chicago towards the end of this year, where they called that a flagrant two. And then the one in the playoffs on Okogie.
Oh, yeah. Okogie. That was called a flagrant two.
Yeah. I don't understand the decision making.
There has to be consistency.
Yeah. Because I genuinely, I thought flagrant one was fine. I had no issue with him staying in the game there.
But if we're seeing those other calls being called flagrant twos, then I just don't understand how it's being weighed.
Is it based on
the status of the player? Is that what determines a flagrant one or a flagrant two?
Who knows? I mean, it probably is, but can we just figure out what the standard is and just roll with that? Because again, to me, I don't think that's a flagrant two on Embiid at all. Did he wind up? Did he hit him in the face? Sure. I don't know, man. I think you got to basically punch somebody in a situation like that for me to go flagrant two. And he kind of
or do what he did in game three, where he grabbed someone that was up in the air, that was vulnerable, and pulled them down.
Yeah. And honestly, I'll say this on that play where he did, it's a flagrant one for sure. Brunson initially initiates the contact. If you watch that play from the broadcast angle, he definitely leans into him and then jump, fades back to try and get the layup. I think maybe Embiid is probably a little bit off balance there. It was definitely he definitely hit him in the head on purpose, but a flagrant two would have been, I don't know. I'd have been happy, but I was not asking for it. And from what I've seen anyway, it doesn't seem like most Knicks fans were super upset that he stayed in the game there, which is good. You don't need to be upset about it.
I think a lot of Knicks fans are just looking for some sort of makeup calls on what happened in game three, because it was just so obvious and so deliberate what was going on in that game, what he was able to get away with. I think just fans are just sort of looking for some sort of retribution in that sense. I mean, the perfect retribution would have been him playing shit in a game where we absolutely beat them on our home court for the first time since 1999 to advance. But it'll be even sweeter if we can close them out on their home court with him having a shitter.
Look, the start of these games, I cannot get over this. What, we were down 10-2 today?
I believe so.
Then they immediately come out at halftime, they're up 49-43. They go down 53-51 pretty quick. You can't do this, man. That's basically on aggregate, just to start these halves, that is -8 and then -8 again. So -16 within the first, 3-4 minutes of each half combined. You're playing from a hole the entire way. And you know what? Yes, we can point to all the things that happened in the end. It's a 48-minute game. You cannot keep going behind the eight ball to shut these games and then being oh my God, we'll get bailed out because Brunson will go off at some point and Deuce will come in. It's just got to find something. So it's either got to be a tactical adjustment to get more out of the personnel that's in that lineup, or it's got to be that you're quicker with your subs, because it's just not, it's just not what it is. It's not working.
Yeah. Angus MacGyver, he says, miss Randall opening games. He played well in the first quarter.
Yeah. They miss Randall for a lot of reasons. One of them being they have nobody else in create offense right now.
Yes.
So it is what it is. They've got to deal with it, and that's something they'll have to address in the offseason, hopefully, getting another player in, but didn't happen tonight. So, This is Embiid. It's not hostile. I love New York. New York is my favorite city in the world. I have a place here for the past 5 years. I just love New York. If I've got to be the punching bag and you hear a lot of fuck Embiid, that's okay. I love it. Well, all right. The whole quote's actually kind of not that bad and not annoying, surprisingly, for somebody who's been extremely fucking annoying this entire series.
Yeah.
Shout out to him not necessarily trying to kill somebody tonight, though. I was happy about
that. Yeah. Yeah, after trying to do it the last couple games.
Yeah, I mean, I know he had Brunson in the head, but that's fine. That one's a little different. I know, it's weird, though, because that probably hurts more than the elbow that he threw at Brunson in the last game. But for some reason, that one doesn't bother me anywhere near as much as, or this one doesn't bother me anywhere near as much as that one did. But yeah, look, it is what it is. HB Greg, we were out. Did you read this already?
Yeah, I did okay. Read that one. Yeah. Shout out to everyone that's in here, man. Leave some comments. We got a ton of people.
Super in chats here. If you're so inclined.
Yeah, leave some super chats if you're feeling generous today. Yeah.
Shout out to
HB. Jordan Bubb says the Knicks blue. A 12-point fourth quarter at MSG in game 5 in 1994 to the Pacers. Reggie Miller scored 25 points in the fourth quarter alone and infamously made the choke sign at Spike. Yet the Knicks regrouped, won game 6 2 days later on the road and went on to win the series. Great teams bounce back. Very solid point there.
Yeah, and I mean, look, if you want to just take a look at this series, Philly lost game 2 in brutal fashion, win game 3. Lose game 4 at home, come back, win an MSG.
There's too many eerie similarities to 1994 with the Knicks, the Rangers.
Yeah, it's just brutal. It's brutal when you're right there. They were right there. They had the game. They had the series won, and they pissed it away tonight. And, you know, hopefully they win the series so we don't have to think about it. But I'll tell you what, if they don't win this series, they're going to think about this game.
Forever.
Forever. Forever. For the rest of their lives. Literally for the rest of their lives, they'll be thinking about this game. So hopefully that's the fuel they need to get there.
Shout out HB Greg, another super chat.
I will read part of this. HB Greg, shout out to you guys. All the money, share the love. Where are the rich people at in here? Appreciate the super chat. Thank you, HB Greg. JL, this Pacers loss would have been way more enjoyable if we had won. Yeah, well, that's true. Look, they're only down 15 here with 4:23 left in the third. So who knows? They might not lose this game based on the game we just watched anyway. So yeah, I don't know what the schedule is like though. Like the Knicks win game 6. Like what if they both go to game 7?
The series might have to go. It might start next week.
Yeah, it would start on like Monday.
Most likely.
Hey, Greg, we appreciate your contributions. Thank you.
Sunset, but damn.
I know. Omar Youssef, we need to finally get up to a good start and not always fall behind 8-10 the first 6 minutes of the quarter. It finally bit us. Yeah, I mean, there's really nothing else to say at this point, you know? It is what it is. They've got to figure it out, and hopefully they do. But they just need more, man. Like, it's not even that. It'd be one thing if they're like missing wide open shots, but they're not even creating good shots. It's just so stagnant. It's brutal. I feel like half of Brunson's turnovers happen at the start of these halves. It looks like they're like strangers, like they haven't played together all year. It's so fucking weird, man. It is so fucking weird. I don't really get that at all.
It's very confusing.
I don't know. I mean, that lineup was good all season, and I understand, look, the Sixers are good. Nick Nurse makes good adjustments. He's a good defensive coach. We're fucking 5 games into the series, guys. What do you think? Nobody can figure it out? And if you can't figure it out, then get the fuck out of here. Let's go. Let's get a new lineup in. Be quicker with the subs. Like I you cannot start the second half, especially the first half. Okay, maybe you know there's a little more grease there. Second half, you come out, fucking immediately go down 2 points. You basically undo all the hard work You did. And also, like, let's not forget, I think were the Knicks up 10 at one point in the second quarter? They were, right?
Yes, yeah. They were. 44-34.
Yeah, and they did not close that half well. They were actually kind of fortunate to be up 6 going into the half.
They were up by like 8, and then they let Tyrese Maxey get all the way to the cup to get that layup. And it cuts it to 6, and that's where the momentum started to die down for the Knicks.
Yeah, and look, I understand that Hart is playing a shit ton of minutes. You know, I truly understand that, and I'm appreciative of that. His defense to start some of these games has been atrocious, where he's just like not locked in, and it's like I get it, he's probably pacing himself, whatever. He's got to be locked in, man. They've got to be way more locked in. The back cuts they were getting throughout this game were ridiculous. Ridiculous. OG Anunoby, we know he's a great defender. I would go watch him to start this game. Just watch him. I don't know what the hell he was doing. He was just like roaming around off. Like, I get it. You don't have to defend Tobias. Like, you're on Tobias to roam. That doesn't mean you literally don't pay attention to him. Like, he was like literally not paying attention to him for the first 3 or 4 minutes of the game. It's like, dude, what is going on here? Like, can you walk in for 5 seconds? Hart had a, I think it was Hart or Dante. I'm not sure which one. There was the corner three that Tobias hit right at the start of the game. They just like watched him line it up. And I'm like, dude, I get that Tobias has played like shit. You do understand, like,
Still shoot.
Yeah. Like, he's been able to shoot for a long time. And if you just let him line up the seams, he's probably going to make some of those. I thought that was crazy. They just were not sharp to start this game. And they were not sharp to start the second half. I don't get how you can come out of halftime and just look like that. And it's been every game. Like, the last game, they won game 4. They fell down 10 at the start of the fucking third quarter. Like, what is happening at halftime? Why? How is it that you come out of halftime every fucking game and you look like a bunch of fucking strangers? What are they doing? Are they, like, fucking ripping shots? Like, what are you guys doing? Like, you're just fucking, you know, taking tabs back there?
What Jalen's doing during halftime.
All right.
We kind of walked into that one.
Just so frustrating, man. I don't get the start of these games or halftime. It's like, again, that lineup has been good this season, and these last 5 games, they've been fucking atrocious. They've been fucking atrocious. Absolutely ridiculous.
I was just about to pull up that comment, but No Ross has put his previous question was, who do we sacrifice? Put Precious in for Josh and the non-Embiid minutes. He had a solid offensive game, but didn't rebound like usual. Yeah, I mean, that's the quick adjustments that Thib has to make. Like, he has to do it in game. I know, like, game by game, he does make adjustments, but like, in game, he has to make adjustments as well. Like, he has to see, like, oh, is this thing working or not? All right, let me try this different thing for a minute. But yeah.
Yeah, the Josh Hart, man. Tonight was the first night where I felt like he looked pretty gassed to me today throughout this game. He did dial it up at various points in the second half, but he looked really, really like he had no, like, all those threes, he looked so flat on them. Most of them looked like they never had a shot. Neil Schmidt. Oh God. Now I remember the contested 2 by Harris over OG. Yeah, that was crazy shot. I could not believe that went in.
Yeah, that was the shot. I was like, maybe we might actually lose this game, because if Tobias Harris is hitting those type of shots, then yeah.
Yeah. It's a brutal shot. I don't know. It does suck, though, man. It sucks that we didn't win this game. I had a nice tweet all lined up to send out.
Some Embiid slander.
Stay tuned. Maybe we'll still find out. But, yeah, it's just, just a shitty loss, man.
Really, I was going to go on a tirade. I don't know if I would have been as locked into the post game if we won. I had a lot of things to get off my chest about one Cameroonian basketball player.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, man, I don't even know what else to say. Just a brutal loss. But, you know, I think before the series, I'm pretty sure I picked Knicks in six. It's important to remember that the Knicks are still up in this series. They're up 3-2. They still have a home game left in game seven, if it comes to that. They still have the advantage in the series. It just sucks that you didn't need to – we should be thinking about, you know, we should be resting up for Indiana right now. That's what we should be doing. And now they're not going to get to because they lost tonight. So,
yeah. And Indiana lost, so.
No, it's the Draymond video is not, come on. I'm not, that wouldn't be like my big surprise of a tweet.
that's a Schwinn regular, guys. Come on.
Yeah, come on. Let's be real here. Yeah, it's just. Well, that's what we do. I agree, Greg. Well, this post game made me feel better. Yeah, I mean, it's always.
That's what we're here for. It's a therapy session.
Yeah, it's good to talk through this instead of.
God damn, Bucks are whooping that ass. Holy shit.
What's the score?
82-63.
Mm. Good for them. That's nice of them. Hopefully they can.
Maybe Giannis and Dame.
Close this out, extend the series. But yeah, look, the Knicks fucked up tonight. It is what it is. But this is the nature of the playoffs. Honestly, this is the nature of the playoffs. You're going to have some brutal losses at various points, and you've got to be resilient, and you've got to be
able
to.
If your team is good, then yeah, they'll be
resilient. I mean, look at Miami last year. They lost. They had a 3-0 lead. They lose two in a row. They look like they have game six wrapped up at home. And Derek White has that tip in, or the fuck, to win the game. They have to go to game seven on the road and they end up winning that. So, like, you're going to have some brutal losses. You've got to find a way to
push through.
To push through. And, you know, the Knicks.
They've been pushing through all year.
Yeah, they've been pushing through all year. So they've got to do it one more time. Nora, I would be beside myself if it weren't for you guys, to be honest. Shout out, y'all. A great duo. Thank you. Appreciate it. We do it for y'all, for the love of the game. And
yes, indeed.
And our wonderful patrons. Yeah, man. Just a brutal, brutal game in so many ways. Oh, wow. You can actually – so there's a clip that Andrew Claudio – pulled out. You can actually see Tibbs and hear him and
clapping for Deuce to foul.
He's telling him right there. Yep. He's like on the fucking floor.
Damn. That's rough. That's brutal.
I just don't get I'd have to watch back the free throws. Hart's taking free throws there, right? So why are you fucking bring Deuce right there. Hey. Foul Maxi here. Foul him. That's what, like, I don't care about anything else. Foul him when he's bringing the ball up. Maybe that happened. I have no clue. I'd have to watch back and see if he called Deuce over at some point. Just a brutal, brutal fuck up. And it sucks. Deuce going to have to own that one.
Yeah. Jordan Bubb does say that arguably the Knicks' greatest strength all season has been their toughness and ability to persevere. They've battled through brutal injuries and tough losses, etc. Yeah. I mean, the playoffs are a different beast, but yeah, I do agree with the sentiment.
Yep. Yeah, we'll see. They have to do it. I mean, there's really nothing else to be said. Like, they have to do it. They either will or they won't. And that's my very, very extreme hot take. Jordan Bubb, their captain and their coach, constantly preach composure, equanimity. There we go. Never get too high, never get too low. This team has an opportunity to prove how tough they are. That's all you can ask for. They do. And look, let's just call it like it is. Brunson had one of the weirdest 40-point games you'll see. It's very hard to say he had a great game. I also think it's hard to say he had a bad game because I don't think it's either of those things. But he's got to come out and be way more composed than he was in this game. I thought he started the game really badly. He had that turnover where he drove into the paint. I think Embiid smacked it away from him. And he's like bitching about the call. I was like, where were you going on that play, though? Like, where were you going on that play? So he's got to come out and really have a better grip on things and understand what he wants. And I understand that Nick Nurse is throwing a lot at him. They're changing coverages constantly. So, like, I get that. Hey, man, you want to prove you're a superstar? Like, these are the things you got to deal with. And obviously he's figured out the scoring part of it, but you need more. You need more from him. And I'll say one other thing. At that end of the game, I feel like he has to get back. Like, he has to get the ball back there. I get it. He passes it to Hart, who then gave – I don't remember if it went to Hart and then Deuce, but I know Deuce had it at one point, and he gives it back to Hart. Like, Brunson has to demand the ball there. He has to go get that ball. That has to be him. And honestly, if I'm Deuce, bro, he's like an 86% free throw shooter there, right? Like, just hold the ball. Make them foul you. Josh Hart's not a better free throw shooter than you. And he's had a bad free throw shooting series, it feels like. Definitely the last couple of games have been brutal at the line, right? He missed two late in the game against Philly in game four. And then he missed one today. And in general, like, the Knicks, dude, they got to figure out, like, they've got to get their shit together at the free throw line, especially towards the end of these games. And this has been an issue kind of toward, even it was even an issue towards the end of this end of the season, I felt like. They're constantly splitting free throws at the end of games. Make your fucking free throws, man. Make your free throws. You shoot free throws reasonably well, you win this game. Which is another reason why, and again, I haven't seen too many people doing this. Anybody that's blaming the officiating for this loss or something, come on. Be serious. The Knicks didn't even cash in the opportunities they got at a high enough clip to give a damn. Just a brutal game. And all the margins. Literally all the margins. Like, I mean, we already read the comment from HP Greg, but literally everything. Rebounding, free throws, three-point shooting, fucking turnovers. Like, whatever it is, like, they just did not control the margins that you expect them to control, right? Points in the paint. They've got to figure it out. You know, I think both teams have adjusted well game to game. The Knicks need to do it now. They need to make an adjustment. So we'll see what they do.
Couldn't have said it any better. Yeah. So game six on Thursday. And I think they said if the Bucks win, it'll be at 8 or something.
Yeah, I guess.
So Thursday at 8, it will most likely be Knicks Sixers. We'll be back after that game, unless I magically win some parlay over the next couple of days and decide to buy a ticket to the game in Philly somehow. But yeah, I'll be here after game six. Sean will probably be here. And hopefully Knicks take care of business on the road. It's going to be an interesting day or so the next couple of days. Talking about this game. Oh, HB Greg says it's 9 p.m. if the Bucks win. Okay.
Oh, if Pacers the Bucks win, it's at 9?
Yes, if the Bucks win, it's at 9. If Pacers win, it's at 8.
All right, well, so probably 9 then. Weird fucking time for a game, but hey, here we are.
Yeah, gonna have to take a nap before that shit. Holy crap. But yeah, we'll be here after that game, post game. Make sure you guys are tuning in. Make sure you guys leave a like and subscribe. Shout out to everyone that was in here. We had over 1500 people from both YouTube and Twitter. So shout out to everyone that's out there. Make sure you guys leave a like and subscribe if you're on YouTube. Make sure you guys retweet and follow if you're on Twitter. Check out all links in the description. We got links to the site, merch. We got some new merch, of course, for the playoffs. We got some Nova Knicks merch, although some of them have not been performing up to standard in the playoffs, but check out some Nova Knicks merch. We got some Jalen Brunson Born to Play Basketball shirts as well. So yeah, check those out as well. Yeah, everyone have a good night and peace.
You know, when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks, that's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.